Good evening or afternoon, and welcome to our study for today, which is April 24th, 2024, of the Common Era. The time is 17:28 hours right now, just turned the minute to 28. Eastern Daylight Time, 17:28 hours. Our study in the Crucible article is continuing, little ones. We have a proverb. We should start with that, I think, today, if we can. If I can find out where I put it. Let's see. There it is. Okay. Proverbs 15, we were doing. And we were at the fat bones, verse 30. So we can do the last three verses of this chapter now, because two of the verses are shorter, 31, 32, and then 33. Proverbs 15, the ear that considers instruction lives wise, and he that will not his own soul does despise. The fear of Jehovah is warning to grow. Humility comes before glory, you know. The ear that considers instruction lives wise, and he that will not, his own soul does despise. The fear of Jehovah is warning to grow. Humility comes before glory, you know. That's our daily scripture, little children. We have to be careful what we respond to with regard to matters that might just be political in nature. Our study in chapter 10, paragraph 12 today will probably show this. It would be foolhardy, it reads, to believe the Assyrian eponym lists have as much credibility as careful correlated chronology. Assyrian and Egyptian rulers at times erased the record of their predecessor, destroying monuments and public annals. The Bible is a truthful document which does not hide sins. Moses wrote the Torah, as the text itself imparts as much. Whether Joseph was a pharaoh or not, he had similar power. Moses may have been a pharaoh and surely mentored Israel. Would those who dismiss the Bible as mythical also have us believe that Moses was a fictional character in the story? Nay, these are the ridiculous assertions of desperate men. We must expect them to do anything to avoid believing God. There is no need to worry any longer, however, as the good fit we present allows fitting the chronology to the Bible. The date of Moses, 1572 to 1493 BCE, in our crucible leads us thus to the greatest discoveries of recent history, namely the total solar eclipse of Mycale in 1340 BCE, and the eclipse of Marduk-Nadin-Ahi in 1124 BCE, also a total solar eclipse. The first eclipse at Hattusa being mentioned at the least by Mr. Peter J. Huber in his piece on the solar omen of Mycale II, while the second one was at Babylon, discovered by Ward Green at 17:26 hours, Saturday, October 6th, 2012, during the tabulation of the kings of Babylon. At the time, the mood was tempered by the realization that, as others put it, one stands upon the shoulders of giants. The many dedicated people who came before us prepared us a way by which we might better proceed. And as we thank them, we duly, as Mr. Peter J. Huber also said, exempt them from any blame caused by our own errors of judgment or mistake. If one scholar has helped me more than most others, it was he, although ultimately all credit belongs to the Creator. Not to be forgotten, and perhaps susceptible to the further analysis and resulting discovery of enlightened minds, are the now renamed, quote, Venus Tablets of Nabu Apla Edina, end quote. The Babylonian king, Nabu Apla Edina, appears seated in the, quote, Tablet of Shamash, end quote, beneath the moon, sun, and Venus. This king is 600 years after Moses left Egypt for Midian. 933, that is, and you'll see him in the table. Let's go check, in fact. Let's look at the table. 933. Nabu Apla Edina. And he reigned for 33 years until the year 900. So where we see what we're going to look at next, which is the Venus Tablets of Nabu Apla Edina, we're going to see in this marvelous table the proof that it was his name that was missing from the Venus tablet. And there is the illustration. The Tablet of Shamash, both left and right here, both illustrating this king. So, continuing our reading. All credit belongs to the Creator, not to be forgotten. Are the Venus Tablets of Nabu Apla Edina. The Babylonian king Nabu Apla Edina appears seated in the Tablet of Shamash beneath the moon, sun, and Venus. This king is 600 years after Moses left Egypt for Midian. The crucible of our chronology puts the Exodus thus 560 years before the Venus Tablet, 80 times 7 years, and the kings of Babylon are synchronized with the kings of Assyria in such a way that the dating of Moses, together with the eclipses of 1340 and 1124 BCE, that is called the eclipse of Mersili and the eclipse of Marduk-Neddin-Ahi, respectively, of the sun, these were solar eclipses, prove a perfect revised alignment of Assyrian and Babylonian kings in our crucible, with the kings of Egypt, kings of the Hittite Empire, and the kings of Israel, gold. The dating of King Solomon of the United Kingdom of Israel, determined by the genealogy of his descendants, not only is vital for aligning Moses with the Egyptian chronology, but causes the Assyrian chronology to be raised high enough at the time of Solomon for a proper fit between Babylon's and Assyria's chronologies to be made for the first time. The Venus Tablet of King Nabu Apla Edina, or so it is now called by us, is dated in 933 BCE, with probability much greater than the 1702 BCE dating, which frees us from the many variant chronologies associated with these times. This is proven, that is, the earlier times have many variant chronologies when you go back further. The further back you go, the more variant chronologies there are. This is proven by the fact that it's 933, the date of this tablet, is proven by the least squares analysis for the lunar days of the end of invisibility. I see another typo there, as there was with the eclipse of Mercalli also earlier. 133 versus 225 in the least squares analysis. When there's a difference between two numbers, you take the difference and you square it, and then you do the same thing and add all these squared values together to get the total number of all the squared differences. And that's the least squares fit. It magnifies the difference when you square it. So you can see better which is the better fit. As well as the Julian year day one, which is nearer the vernal equinox for the 933 date. The Bible-based chronology of our crucible remains without question the most solid. While secular dates become purer. The crucible purifies the secular dates, but the most solid date remains the Bible-based chronology, based on the kings of Israel and all of the Bible chronology itself. I want to show you something. Today's reading will be Ezra 10, Zechariah 14, which will end and, or terminate or finish off those two books completely. But I noticed today for the first time something very important in the book of Isaiah, chapter 20, where it mentions in verse 1, Sargon, the king of Assyria. It says in verse 3, just as my servant Isaiah, there it says Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent Tartan to Ashdod. But in verse 3 it says, just as my servant Isaiah has walked about naked and barefoot 3 years as a sign and a portent against Egypt and against Ethiopia. That's fascinating because I was having trouble for quite a while, years, trying to understand Isaiah 37:30, where it says, this will be the sign for you at the time when Sennacherib is leading the Assyrian army against Jerusalem. Potentially, he was about to do so. It says, this will be the sign for you in the days of Hezekiah, when Isaiah prophesied to Hezekiah in the name of Jehovah. There will be an eating this year of the growth from spilled kernels, and in the second year, grain that shoots up of itself. But in the third year, sow seed, you people, and reap, and plant vineyards and eat their fruitage. There's a correspondence between the 3 years mentioned of the time of Sargon and these 3 years, which indeed may be the same 3 years that are being mentioned here, which would explain this scripture and would also allow for, as our chronology also agrees, the reality that Sargon was the king at this time and Sennacherib was leading the army, but Sennacherib later became the king. Therefore, he's, let's not say posthumously, but post-appointedly, he becomes, in retrospect, the king when talking about him in his previous life. So you'd say, for example, the president of the United States, when he was only 9 years old, he went to school in a certain district. He wasn't the president at that time, but he would still be referred to in that description or in that example as the president, even though he was 9 years old and wasn't the president at the time. Okay, just wanted to clarify that and explain this new discovery I made that I was about, which I'm fairly excited because, excuse me, because that 3 years of Isaiah 37:30, I could never understand it. So, continuing in our study of the Crucible article, chapter 10, paragraph 12, part 2 of the Crucible is the part we're studying, which begins with chapter 10. Moses dated the eclipse of Jeroboam 784 BCE, and that's a paragraph, it says, a narrow or tortuous path is what Jesus taught us to follow, a narrow or tortuous path. We won't have time to read all of that today, so we might come back to this tomorrow. Two solar eclipses occurred in that year, and February 9th, 784, that eclipse was visible, weather permitting, from Samaria or Jerusalem in Israel. But the idea here is that there was an earthquake, and this work, this writing by Amos, the book of Amos, he wrote his book 2 years before the earthquake as a prophecy, in which he mentions the sun going down at midday. And they didn't have a word for eclipse in the ancient Hebrew. As far as we know, they had a very limited vocabulary, unlike the English language, which has millions of words. The sun goes down at midday is how they would have described an eclipse, is what scholars believe. So that was from Amos chapter 8, verse 9, where he mentioned the seeming eclipse. And that was 55 years after Amaziah began to rule, which is, in fact, with year one of Amaziah in our chronology, being given is, let's go and look at it, if we have time here. Let's see where it is. Where did I put it? There it is. Yeah, that's Israel. Here's Judah. Amaziah, 839, year one in our chronology. And after 839, when we subtract 55 years, we get 784. That's the difference. So that's the exact year in which the eclipse appears to have occurred, which we discovered also. And it was exactly 65 years prior to the fall of Samaria in 719, which was prophesied by Isaiah. Tomorrow we'll look more at this, these tables, I think, probably. But you can see how using the program PLSV, which I was using at the time, to calculate all these planetary movements of Venus, it turned out that we got better results than Mr. Huber got for his numbers compared to the Venus tablet. And you can see it from this table to some extent. In some cases, all three correspond, and then it's any correspondence with the Venus tablet is shown with an asterisk for either Mr. Huber's, which is in one column, and ours right next to it to the left, and Venus tablet to the right of Mr. Huber's. And also, Mr. Huber's Venus tablet, his numbers are different. But the Venus tablet that we had agrees even better with Mr. Huber's numbers that he gave, better than with the Venus tablet numbers that he had. But our results agree even better than Mr. Huber's with the Venus tablet numbers that we give here. And they're according with the information based on the research that was available about the Venus tablet. The conclusion was that 933 is the year of the Venus tablet because it corresponds in more cases over and over again, better, or in most, you know, rarely worse, and if it is worse, it's not by much in those cases, so it's very much better. And you can see from these graphs the dance of the planet Venus. Did I already have these open? I think I probably did. Where are they? Yeah, there's one. The dance of the planet Venus and the lunar day of the first day of invisibility, showing that the correspondence to the moon is better, where the deviations of Mr. Huber's numbers are shown here with the red circles. And it's quite remarkable to see that. and the dance of the planet Venus, again, with the sum of the squares shown here, trying to think. This is the year 933 and on down, during the reign of Nabu-Apla-Edina. And we're giving, here we chart the lunar day as the main graph. On this graph, the other graph was, the lunar day was only in the middle part of the graph. So we've shown the differences, right, the discrepancies. And the sum of the squares is 225 for the case of 1702. And it's only 133 days squared. That's the difference. In the number of days being the difference of the number of days squared. So it's, the unit is days squared. So 225 days squared, when you total up all the discrepancies from the Venus tablet for Mr. Huber's date and for our date, 133 is the total sum of the squares. So it's about almost as low as half. So it's a better fit by a great margin, a large margin. So we seem to have proven the date 1702 as being not the best, and we've proven 933 as being the potential date of the Venus tablet. Huge discoveries in chronology. I mean, humbling, you know, knee-knocking kind of stuff. Ezra, chapter 10. Now, as soon as Ezra had prayed, this is the last chapter of Ezra. This is Ezra writing. Now, as soon as Ezra had prayed about the fact that the Israelites had taken foreign wives, and he had made confession while weeping and lying prostrate before the house of the true God, those of Israel collected themselves together to him, a very large congregation, men and women and children, for the people had wept profusely. Then Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel of the sons of Elam, answered and said to Ezra, We have acted unfaithfully against our God, so that we gave a dwelling to foreign wives from the peoples of the land. Yet now there exists a hope for Israel concerning this, and now let us conclude a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and those born from them according to the counsel of Yahweh and of those trembling at the commandment of our God, that it may be done according to the law. Get up, for the matter devolves upon you, and we are with you. Be strong and act. End quote. That was what Shechaniah said to Ezra. At that, verse 5, Ezra rose and had the chiefs of the priests, the Levites, and all Israel take an oath to do according to this word. Accordingly, they took an oath. Ezra now rose from before the house of the true God and went to the dining hall of Jehohanan, the son of Eliashib. Although he went there, he ate no bread and drank no water, for he was mourning over the unfaithfulness of the exiled people. Then they caused a call to pass throughout Judah and Jerusalem for all the former exiles to collect themselves together at Jerusalem, and anyone that did not come in 3 days' time. There's the 3 days. Interestingly, the number 3 days, the number of days 3 days occurs in the scriptures many times, of course. But it's interesting that it coincided with the 3 day idea, which I was inspired to discover today in the scriptures. According to the counsel of the princes and the older men, they didn't come in 3 days' time. All his goods, this person who didn't come, would be put under a ban, and he himself be separated from the congregation of the exiled people. So, all the men of Judah and Benjamin collected themselves together at Jerusalem within 3 days. That is, in the ninth month, on the 20th day of the month, and all the people kept sitting in the open place of the house of the true God, shivering because of the matter and on account of the showers of rain. Now, this time was, as we said before, seventh year of Artaxerxes, or very close to, in our chronology, 458 BCE, when they arrived. So, very possibly, this is the ninth month. They arrived in the seventh month, I believe, wasn't it? Yeah, I think that's what we said. This is the ninth month. At length, Ezra the priest rose and said to them, well, we should check whether it was the seventh month or what it was. I think it was in chapter 7, wasn't it, where we read that? A lot of sevens here. 7 verse 7 says, they went up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes. There's a lot of, even more sevens. No, and on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem, it said. Okay, verse 9. So it's not all sevens, fortunately. I don't know if it's fortunate, really, but it's... it would be a lot of sevens, even more so. So, and when they called to collect them, that was Ezra 10, verse 7. Now they're shivering because of the rain and because of this concern. Verse 10, at length Ezra the priest rose and said to them, you yourselves have acted unfaithfully in that you gave a dwelling to foreign wives so as to add to the guiltiness of Israel. And now make confession to Jehovah, the God of your forefathers, and do his pleasure and separate yourselves from the peoples of the land and from the foreign wives. To this all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, exactly according to your word it devolves upon us to do. However, the people are many, and it is the season of showers of rain, and it is not possible to stand outside, and the business will not take one day or two, for we have rebelled to a great extent in this matter. So please let our princes act representatively for all the congregation, and as for all in our cities who have given a dwelling to foreign wives, let them come at the times appointed, and along with them the older men of each individual city and its judges, until we have turned back the burning anger of our God from us on account of this matter. However, Jonathan the son of Asahel and Josiah the son of Tikva themselves stood up against this, and Meshullam and Shabbatai the Levites were the ones that helped them, and the former exiles proceeded to do that way, and Ezra the priest and the men that were the heads of the fathers for their paternal house, even all of them by their names, now separated themselves and began sitting on the first day of the tenth month to inquire into the matter, and gradually they finished with all the men that had given a dwelling to foreign wives by the first day of the first month. So from the first day of the tenth month to the first day of the first month, 11, 12, and sometimes 13 months in a year, could be 3 or 4 months it took them to do this. And some of the sons of the priests came to be found that had given a dwelling to foreign wives. And then there's a list. And of the priests, they promised by shaking hands to put their wives away. And that they, being guilty, there should be a ram of the flock for their guiltiness. In other words, after they've repented and they are going to continue on the faithful course, they present the ram as a sin offering. But all these names are given then. In verse 44, these all had accepted foreign wives, a long list of names. And they proceeded to send away wives along with sons. That's the end of Ezra 10. You may want to read all the names. I know I will want to read them all. Zechariah 14. Look, there is a day coming belonging to Jehovah, and the spoil of you will certainly be apportioned out in the midst of you. And I shall certainly gather all the nations against Jerusalem for the war. Adam Clark, in his commentary, states that this is talking about the Romans coming against Jerusalem in 70 CE. And the city will actually be captured, and the houses be pillaged, and the women themselves will be raped, and half of the city must go forth into the exile. But as for the remaining ones of the people, they will not be cut off from the city. And Yahweh will certainly go forth and war against those nations, as in the day of his warring, in the day of fight, and his feet will actually stand in that day upon the mountain of the olive trees, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east. And the mountain of the olive trees must be split at its middle from the sun rising into the west. There will be a very great valley, and half of the mountain will actually be moved to the north and half of it to the south. And you people will certainly flee to the valley of my mountains, because the valley of the mountains will reach all the way to Azel. And you will have to flee just as you fled because of the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. That's the earthquake. In 784, from the chronology of the genealogy that we have, which we've just shown also, we've got it here somewhere. Where is it now? This one or this one or this one? There it is. Okay. From that chronology, we see this really is in the days of Azariah. 810 to 757 in our chronology. So 784 does fall in that time period. Perfect. In our chronology once again. Back to the scriptures, which we were reading here. And Jehovah my God will certainly come, all the holy ones being with him. And it must occur in that day that there will prove to be no precious light. Things will be congealed. You see, the light that Satan gives off is not the same as Jehovah's light. It's a wicked light, like the light from the wick of an oil lamp, which was something that was used in more ancient times instead of the light bulbs we have today. But the light that Satan has is not as good as the light of Jehovah. It's not as precious. It's not precious at all, the light of Satan. Things will be congealed. And in fact, Satan is not an heavenly angel either. He's an angel who has fallen away. And it must become one day that is known as belonging to Jehovah. It will not be day, neither will it be night, and it must occur that at evening time it will become light. And it must occur in that day that living waters will go forth from Jerusalem, half of them to the eastern sea and half of them to the western sea. In summer and in winter it will occur. And Jehovah must become king over all the earth. In that day Jehovah will prove to be one and his name one. The whole land will be changed like the Arabah. From Geba to Rimmon to the south of Jerusalem, and she must rise and become inhabited in her place, from the gate of Benjamin all the way to the place of the first gate, all the way to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel all the way to the press vats of the king. And people will certainly inhabit her, and there must occur no more any banning to destruction, and Jerusalem must be inhabited in security. That's all we have time for today. It's April 24th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 1800 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. It's been a pleasure to be with you again. I love you very much. And in my behalf, this is Liv Dusty. And this is Cassie saying bye for now.